Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like, in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Is Sabrina a high school dropout? Who is the real top boy? Is it Sabrina, Nick, Susie, or Theo? And is it ever too soon for a resurrection joke? So swallow that wad in your mouth, Billy. You know there is no gum chewing in Baxter High as we double toil and trouble, fire burn, boil and bubble. The wait is over. The chilling adventures of Sabrina. Part 2, Episode 1, The Epiphany. The after show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I feel like I've been waiting for this moment my whole life. Here I am, speaking into existence. I might have used a couple spells to get my way and make my way onto the Sabrina panel.
You bewitched. You bewitched everyone.
I bewitched the entire AfterBuzz staff, this panel, and all of you at home. Thank you, guys. We're here. It's like, I've been waiting so long to get this part two of Sabrina.
Mm-hmm. I know.
The chilling adventures of
Sabrina. And luckily we didn't have to wait that long because part one came back in October and it's like, boom, we're already here.
Right.
I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way they had originally planned it in this way. We could have possibly even gotten it sooner because people got teasers for part two way back in December. And I was really jealous. I was holding off. I did everything in my control not to check ahead, look ahead, any of that as I got to episode one of part two.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it was really, really, really hard to not keep watching.
Yeah.
To like turn after the first episode. Yeah. Like, next?
Especially no, when not it, play, next, it plays next. Automatically on Netflix. I mean,
you just have to actually.
It does. It does just jump ahead on Netflix.
Right.
Well, let's not jump ahead on the show as we get into a lot of things on this episode of this after show for Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. We are going to be talking about, of course, the opening scene, Sabrina at the Church of Night. Father Blackwood, is Sister Zelda a hellsend after all? Hilda, is she still a sweetheart? Miss Wardwell, I mean Principal Wardwell. The faculties, Sister Jackson, witch or B-word that rhymes with which. Top boy, the three challenges, my main man, Nicholas Scratch, Lucas and Ambrose, Sabrinic, are we shipping them? I think Sabrinic's a good one. We'll get to that as well. Prudence wants the Blackwood name, the three plague kings that played, ascending for Sabrina, the Dark Lord's promise, and no top boy for you. We also get into that B plot at Baxter High, where we discuss Susie trying out for the basketball team, or should we call him Theo now, Roz's vision, and so much more. We go to school with Who You, which is where we pick a scene that represents us from the show, and overall predictions. Mm-hmm. I have so many. But let's start off with the wonderful panel to my left. All the way at the far left, we have Oliver in the building.
Hi, guys. I'm super excited to talk about season two of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
You may recognize the Teron Oliver team from
Doom Patrol. Yeah.
We're there.
On Sundays. Just check us out.
That's how
we're
it is.
We're nerds here.
And then we have Sabrina's twin sister, Zia.
I'll take it. Yeah, sure. I would 100% pretend to be Sabrina when I was younger.
At least a cousin. You're definitely a cousin. And the funny thing is, I could play a cousin too, because if Ambrose is there, so could I.
Exactly.
That's true.
And then Veronica, who's also been on an after panel, we've done
Have we done
done some shows.
Maybe.
We've done a couple.
Yeah.
We've done some shows.
Someone will tell us.
And of course, I'm Teron. I will be your host. Let's get right into it. What was your overall thoughts on this chilling adventure of Sabrina? The Epiphany.
I like that Sabrina's growing, obviously, in her powers, but also in communication with her aunts, especially. And, you know, she especially since she's lost the, communication with Roz and Susie, or now Theo. So it's nice to see her kind of grow without her friends. And I'm interested in also seeing Roz and Harvey also kind of grow into their own, because they've always had Sabrina in the middle of them. So they've kind of been like second fiddle in a sense. Like, we haven't really gotten to know them yet because of Sabrina, which I'm super excited to see them grow and expand and more things, possibly.
Zia?
Nice. I like this episode a lot so far. I'm really excited to see Sabrina kind of go off on her own into the academy more. And I like that you get her sort of I wouldn't say changing, but growing as a person, but also still maintaining her values and who she is at the core of things. You know, she's very much like fighting, I guess you call it the patriarchy, really, in this particular, these circles. And so you still see that she's, down in her core, she's the same person, but she's just growing and she's learning. It seems like she's different, but mm-hmm. she's not. And I like that we're getting yeah. that.
Mm-hmm. Kind of piggybacking off of what you were saying, Zia, I like that this season, or at least especially in this first episode, we are seeing a much more confident Sabrina. Mm-hmm. I don't think in the last season she was ever insecure. She very much knew who she was. But you can tell she was very, she was straddling that line between, you know, her humanity right. and trying to accept her witch side. But I feel like now that since she has signed her name in the Book of the Beast, she is in more in tune with her witchy side and in turn being more confident in like, you know what, I'm a Spellman, I'm going to own it. And I love seeing that.
Mm-hmm. I love this show. Look, I can't contain how much I enjoy this show. And I agree, and I agree, and I agree. And I love how it's cinematically presented. That Oslo filter that they use on every single shot, which gives it its own character, the timelessness of how the Greendale is portrayed. We don't know exactly what era we're in mm-hmm. sometimes. Sure, we know technology exists, but then we see someone dressed like a 14th century warlock. There's a vampire bookstore owner. I mean, I just enjoy the show so much. And I have to admit, going in, I was a fan of the original series. I was a 14-year-old girl. And I love
makes so much sense series. Now. My gosh,
and now I'm a 15-year-old girl, and I love this series even more because it is dark and it is gritty, and this the part two does not disappoint in any way.
Right,
we have, as I agree, this confident Sabrina mm-hmm. that emerges, this newfound confidence in her, let's say, dark side, which I hate calling it that, but for lack of a better term, right? Mm-hmm. Where she's finally. Seems to be growing into the concept that she's a witch and she's accepted it. And as a person who comes from like a mixed cultural and ethnic background, I can understand where you have this Venn diagram of worlds that kind of collide and overlap and you don't know exactly where you fit in until you do. And then you just kind of accept it. And I find that's where Sabrina is. I'm a Prudence fan. I love,
definitely.
Listen, yeah. I love Prudence.
Yeah.
I love Prudence.
I
love the weird sister.
I do too, and I absolutely love watching Prudence back up Sabrina and yeah. watching them work together more in this season. Like, every time that happens, I get so hyped. I'm like, yes.
But are they friends, or are they the enemy of my enemy is my friend?
I think that Prudence is starting to respect Sabrina more. And I think that she's slowly, like, whether or not she wants to admit it now, I think she kind of likes Sabrina.
I was going to say, Zia, I don't think they are necessarily friends. I don't think we can put that label on them. I don't think they're ever going to confide in each other their deepest, darkest secrets. But I think there is a certain level of mutual respect between them that they're like, okay, you know, I'm not going to put hexes on you like I used to.
Yeah, and especially since they're both women kind of living in the shadow of these men. Mm-hmm. You know, it's literally they're saying top boy throughout the entire episode. So they definitely have a common interest, common goal of hopefully taking down Father Blackwood because he's kind of a jerk. Yeah.
Kind of.
You know?
I know. A little, only kind of.
Just a little bit, right? You know?
Throughout the entire episode, I couldn't help it. I wanted to just yell, why don't you just have a top boy and a top girl? Like, why? Like, I'm sorry not to bring this back to Harry Potter, but I'm going to do it anyway. They have a prefect, a boy and a girl from each house. Why is that such an issue? Just do it.
There's two sides of this coven, which is in like, warlocks.
Hello? Mm-hmm.
Anyway. And I just think that's also just the patriarch trying to,
right.
you know.
But well, that's a whole issue between Father Blackwood's conservatism and Sabrina's father's, who was very liberal and progressive mm-hmm. in his thoughts. So we see a lot of that in Sabrina herself. Sabrina is a rabble-rouser like her father was. There was always a competition between Father Blackwood and her father, and now there's one between Sabrina and Father Blackwood. Let's talk about the opening scene. Let's jump into the opening scene before we get into a lot of this conversation because it's so good. The opening scene has to stand on its own because it was a standalone scene. We open up on the dream sequence of Sabrina approaching what seemed to be like the nativity scene. Mm-hmm. It seemed very similar, almost like someone was being born in a manger. Who shall remain nameless, but this person was it turns out to be Sabrina, the baby. Her father was present, her mother was present, mm-hmm. The three plague kings were present, and the Dark Lord was present. And I wasn't sure how this was playing out because we jump into it. We're coming off of Sabrina signing into the Book of the Beast, and now we are here. So this could have been anything to me. What did you guys mm-hmm. think about that opening scene?
Well, that's the same thing. When you go into it, I immediately thought it was a dream. It just has that dreamlike quality that they do so well. So I thought it was that, definitely. But it seems to me like in my mind where they were going with that, I thought it was her father giving her away to the Dark Lord, because that's sort of what he did. It seemed like there was a difference between in the previous season, his mother or her mother and her father's wishes. Her father wanted to kind of offer her up to the Dark Lord, and her mother didn't. So there's that weird disconnect there. So I thought it was going to be something along those lines, or something sort of symbolizing that, and she's seeing it in her mm-hmm. yeah, in her dreams.
Especially
yeah.
thinking about the quote by the end of the episode where the half witch must not ascend. So I'm wondering what was the reason, if that is true, you bring up of offering Sabrina up to the Dark Lord. I wonder why he was so prone on doing that, and mm-hmm. why can't the half-witch... I don't know if that the half-witch kind of, like, that was, like, foreshadowing of that quote-unquote prophecy that I don't know. If maybe I'm just making up this prophecy all of a sudden. But I don't know. The show really does a good job of being unpredictable. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's also a symbolic of Sabrina literally moving away from her humanity now that she has had her dark baptism. She's kind of leaving that humanity behind and entering this new her new powers as a witch.
Mm-hmm. And she was so easy to walk that off. She woke up, started changing her clothes, like in the 90s sitcom.
I want that
just
power
like
so
Melissa
bad.
Joan Hart. She was fine.
That's the thing. We get a lot of nods to Harry Potter. We get a lot of nods to the 90s series. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to that dream sequence, was it a dream? Was it a premonition? Was it an omen? And that's why I bring that up. So, yes, it seemed like it was a dream, but there has to be more to it. Mm-hmm. It right. plays out. And especially because we see the three plague kings and the Dark Lord, and we know that Sabrina owes the Dark Lord
something.
A duty, mm-hmm. Which is a common thing. And when I brought up my diverse background, one of the things that I realized is that a lot of times when it comes to diverse heritage, both parents they conflict on which tradition mm-hmm. the child should be raised in. Mm-hmm. So here I'm looking at it in a sense of what it would be like for a very Middle Eastern parent who wants their child to be one way, and a very, for example, American parent, a traditional American parent who has a Christian background, possibly, and wanting them to live that way. And I'm not calling which one's dark or not. That's not
the symbolism,
but
the
analogy is very similar.
Yeah, and also the discrimination that Sabrina is going through as a biracial person myself, it's like symbolic of, oh, you're
you just wanted to take my biracial thunder, didn't
you? No,
no. You just wanted to take that.
I'm trying to sympathize with you for a second. No, it's like, for example, you're too white, or you're not ethnic enough.
Exactly.
You don't belong. And that's exactly what Sabrina is feeling. So it's something that I can sympathize with her personally, her character, and how people are treating her. Like, she doesn't belong in the human world. She doesn't belong in
the witch world.
So and the fact of the matter is, she does belong. And maybe that's why people are just so afraid of her, because she is this half-witch. This is like something new.
It is new. And it's something that's actually new in our society as well. And even though we've become a lot more accustomed to it, if you notice, it's not as prevalent as you would think, especially if you go to a lot of the rest of the country or even the rest of the world. It's a very rare thing. And it's an interesting concept, and a lot of people don't notice that parallel. They're just taking it as, oh, she's a witch and she's not. It really plays into a lot of people's lives, regardless.
I really love... there have been other media and television shows that I've watched that kind of deal with halflings. And I've discussed this before, where I absolutely love halflings because some people can view it as like, oh, I have a place in either world. Growing up is very difficult for me. And then some people can view it as, hey, you have the best of both worlds. You get to explore both worlds because you have a part in both. So I really love how writing takes initiative and tries to explore which way they go in being a halfling. And it's awesome.
The writing is amazing on the show. The writing is absolutely phenomenal. The amount of detail, the fact that they have pagans on the staff who consult and everything. Like, I watch the show with subtitles. I like shows that I really like. I watch with subtitles. I've definitely summoned Satan 4 times. Accidentally just reading some of the things. I've killed a goat. I levitated a couple times in my sleep.
You levitated in
did
the
you astral
studio.
Project?
I'm actually astral projecting right now. So, and to go to the nod to spinning and changing clothes, I think we can all agree that was as fierce as it gets.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, just like spinning and changing clothes, the nod to the 90s Sabrina, mm-hmm. of course, mm-hmm. the Teenage Witch, which was just amazing. Let's talk about Sabrina at the Church of Night and how, I don't know, first of all, Zelda and Hilda react extremely differently yeah. as Sabrina announces that she is now dropping out of school, mm-hmm. out of high school, basically, for all intents and purposes, and committing to the academy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually a great explanation. In Baxter High, I learned geometry. Here I learn sacred geometry way better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please. I've always thought that. Like, if I had the chance to go to the academy, I'd be the best student they've ever had.
Seriously. Now you understand why... I'm so sorry, you guys. Why Hermione is such a good student at Hogwarts. 100%. Because she's like, I come from the Muggle world, and I get to... Are you kidding me? Like, hello.
Never apologize for the Harry Potter references.
I'm going to keep doing it. Sorry.
I love it.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things, and it makes perfect sense. But you're right. You see such a different reaction between Zelda, who's obviously all for it, and then Hilda, who's like...
Well, let's go. What's up with Baxter High? Let's go back to yeah. Baxter High. Hilda even goes so far as going to visit Principal Wardwell mm-hmm. and wondering what's going on and if she could come back and if Sabrina could come back and things like that. I don't know. Oliver, which would you have chosen?
Which one? Don't put me on the spot like that. Well, like, first off, I think that it's cool that Hilda kind of represents the human side of Sabrina, and we talked about this last season. Yeah. And then, obviously, Zelda represents kind of, like, not the demon, but the more witchy side of Sabrina. So it's really hard to, like, navigate which... I don't really know which one I would go to. I think maybe because the witch world is so new, and that's something she's kind of destined to be, I would be like, let's learn some conjuring spells. But, And I also just love seeing Zelda in this episode kind of follow suit of Sabrina and wanting to be, like, the top boy of Father Blackwood. Because she's also a faculty member now, but also she wants to be, like, the top maiden for Blackwood because, obviously, their little tryst they got going on.
She wants to make it official.
Right. Yeah, she's like, give me a title.
She wants the title. She put a ring on it.
And Sabrina wants
to put a ring on it.
Sabrina exactly. wants the title, too. So it's cool to see them kind of fight this episode.
Yeah. I feel like Zelda was already happy with her position because now she is with her position at the school and she wants to be top maiden. I thought she was kind of already happy, but then, obviously, when Sabrina kind of goes in the direction that she was pushing her to go in, she's probably like, oh man, icing on the cherry on top, you know?
Right.
She's like, finally I don't have to keep fighting with this teenage girl that lives in my house.
It's an interesting concept that I thought of is there is clearly some fall from grace for the Spellman family because one of the themes is how they want to reinstate themselves, or at least for Zelda, it's very important to place herself back into proper society with the witches. Mm-hmm. We see that, of course, her brother, Sabrina's father, was a person of interest and a leader who everyone truly liked and loved and respected. But then there's a whole concept of power that despised the changes that he was trying to bring, the fact that he married a mortal woman, all these things they despised. Now we see Zelda and Hilda being almost of the same mind. Mm-hmm. Zelda is more Blackwood, and Hilda is more, I mean...
You could say, like, traditional and untraditional.
Sure, kind of. In a way.
Yeah.
Hilda's like Sabrina's mom. Zelda's like Sabrina's dad.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I didn't even notice that until you said that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it plays out that way. So who do you think is right, Veronica? Like, who has the better point?
Salem always
right. I can't really. I don't think either of them should be right or wrong. I think they both bring good points to the table, and I think they both are obviously watching out for Sabrina's best interest. Obviously, Zelda might be a little bit more harsh at times, but you always know that she will fight for Sabrina, and of course, Hilda will too. So I don't think it's necessarily like who's right and who's wrong. It's just kind of like, which they're kind of there to tag team. So it's like if Sabrina wants to go in the direction of the coven, Zelda will be there backing her up. And if she wants to take more of a direction going back to her human friends in the in Baxter High, Hilda will be right there kind of navigating her as well. So it's really just like a tag team of like helping her in whichever direction she goes in, which will probably like flip-flop all over the place because she still has those human emotions that she didn't necessarily give up by choice. She kind of had to in order to save everyone, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like it's so perfect that she has the two sort of different parenting styles because of what she's going through, like you said. That's awesome. I also have noticed that with Zelda, it almost seems like she's proud of Sabrina for what she's doing in the church. And in the academy, you never see her really scolding Sabrina in this episode for the things that she's doing. And I think it's interesting that Zelda she's such a multidimensional character. Not only is she kind of traditional in the sense of, you know, in sort of their witch traditions, but she still also is a very strong woman. And she's, you know, also seeking power herself. So I kind of think that she sees some of herself in Sabrina and that Sabrina's doing maybe what she didn't do.
Yeah.
Would have wanted to do.
Right, like what she would have wanted to do. Because she's not too hard on Sabrina. I mean, this is the first episode. I don't know what we're going to get into.
Yeah. But
she
like
hasn't been hard on her yet.
Exactly, and it's refreshing to see that as opposed to last season when they were just at each other's throats in every single episode.
Yes.
So it's really refreshing. And I think it kind of just reinstates like how these two worlds that we're seeing in the lore of the show, it's like we can't really think of anything as like following a binary, obviously, like with Susie or now Theo. And it's always, we're always at this this question of, should Sabrina be a witch? Should she be a human? Why can't she have both, you know? Mm-hmm. And going back to Theo, it's funny how this episode is all about the patriarch and masculinity. But when Theo is trying to do something and comes into their masculine self, that's still rejected because it's different. Because it's not on the traditional binary. Mm-hmm. You know, Theo... I don't know if Theo, I've only seen the first episode, obviously, but I don't know if Theo identifies solely as male or if is non-binary, you know? So it's just, you know, I like how the show is just not being traditional. Mm-hmm.
It's not traditional. It's not a traditional show, and it's got a lot of heavy themes. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that we have an after show here, and I want to thank all of you at home for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk here at AfterBuzz. We love what we do. We love these shows. We truly are super fans in all aspects. And what all we need from you, because this panel isn't just us, it's all of you at home as well. We love your comments. If you're in the chat, we would love to hear what you have to say and your theories as well. Please take some time, share, like, subscribe, tell your friends, spread the word. And if you're listening to us on the podcast, iTunes, give us that 5 stars that we so much deserve. And if we haven't earned it yet, we will by the end of the show, I promise you. Or we're going to have to send the Dark Lord after you. And we would hate to do that. I would like to do that. But everyone here else seems like they're good people. They would hate to do that. So please go ahead, tell your friends, spread the word, share the love, and tell everyone about AfterBuzz. We have so many shows here. As we know, we're on a bunch of panels. But this is by far going to be my favorite. Let's get into Sister Zelda and Father Blackwood. Now that we're at the school, we're at the academy, these two are a whole plot line of their own. Father Blackwood, thoughts?
Mean. Jerk.
I thought you just called him a thought. Sorry. I was like,
I did, Ollie. What? Father Blackwood, disgust. Is that better? You guys are too gangster for me.
That word is just tossed around too much. Too often.
Maybe a little bit. Although he is kind of. He's a piece of work. I mean, he's basically traditionalist at his finest. But at the same time, I just don't think any of his intentions are good. It's hard to find any sort of redeeming qualities with him. Just, and you see the way that he treats his daughter. It's ridiculous just because she's illegitimate. It's hard to find anything to like about him. Like, one of my favorite characters besides Ambrose is Principal Wardwell. I know her intentions aren't pure, but I love her. And I don't get the same thing with Father Blackwood at all.
Exactly. Not to, like, jump too far ahead or anything, but kind of picking back off of what you're saying, Zia, her overall intentions aren't good, but her intentions in the moment, as what happened later on in this episode with Susie or Theo wanting to try out for the basketball team, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. That was great. Good on her.
At least Wardwell is assisting our protagonists, mm-hmm. you know, whereas Blackwood is definitely acting as the antagonist in the witch world and stuff. And mm-hmm. it's just sad that even though he found out that Prudence is his daughter, he still treats her like she's nothing. And he doesn't even care that Lady Blackwood is like died yeah. last season.
It could very well be a week.
So
you know?
clearly he thinks or he sees.
We've had a couple of months. This is the summer going into the fall semester.
He sees people, especially women, as expendable.
Yeah.
And he's going down.
So Father Blackwood, and this is my I love understanding people without condoning. And I love placing no moral judgment on people's actions, regardless if they are similar to my own or not. So Father Blackwood, to me, is one of the most dynamic characters on the show. And by dynamic, it's because he's so very one-dimensional. He reminds me of, as a Harry Potter analogy, of Snape. Now, the concept of what Father Blackwood represents is a conservative, traditional ideology, one that's full of misogyny, one that's full of what people would think of as backward, but it's also a very traditional way of thinking. It doesn't make him a lesser or better person. It just makes him, to me, very different. His way of thinking is a bit outdated because I have a more progressive mentality. But I could understand someone coming from his perspective thinking that these are the best ways because these are the ways that it's been done.
And you do see that with the many warlocks at the academy. There's obviously a few that do support a more progressive ideology, but there are still quite a handful of warlocks that support what Father Blackwood is preaching.
They do. And my question is, in Wiccan tradition, I would always have assumed that women have such a strong matriarchy. That's the whole concept that has been a narrative that's been presented to me. And when I say presented to me, I mean through the craft and
yeah, right.
and movies and the such. However, the narrative that's always been presented is that women are so strong and women are actually the forefront of these traditions. So to see that there's a conservative misogynistic tradition is actually a bit jarring for me. In that way, it's something that I did not realize was part of the tradition.
Yeah, no, exactly the same thing. And also, is this? And I've always been curious on this. Is this just Wiccan, or is there also some Satanism thrown in there as well? Is it one or the other? Is it a combination of both?
It is a combination.
It's a combination, yeah. Because it seemed like it. There's, you know, I don't in Wicca. I believe it's just they worship sort of nature. And the earth sort of in a spiritual way like that. Yeah. And in this, there's a lot more, you know, the Dark Lord.
I believe that could be said about witchcraft in general as well. It's a lot of kind of spiritual energy through nature and through color.
Mm-hmm. And witchcraft obviously doesn't mean you automatically worship Satan. And I think in Satanism, too, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't necessarily worship him either.
That is actually very true. Yeah. And in fact, there's been a lot of backlash from Wiccans and Satanists because of the chilling adventures of Sabrina. But to me, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. And even though I don't obviously portray or display those religious beliefs, I think that this is a telling of a tale, and it's fictional at that. Mm-hmm. If that was the case, look, I'm so sorry. Muslims have been dealing with it on a real level, right? So this is one show, and now all of a sudden people want to speak up. I understand, but it's a telling of a tale. I do see a lot of strong women in this in these shows. So the strong women, Zelda,
it's amazing,
100%. Hilda, surprisingly, even though she seems to be the beta to Zelda's alpha.
She's definitely
a strong role.
That's how she definitely started the series. Mm-hmm. I think little by little, and especially now that she's kind of been excommunicated from the coven and she's, you know, helping Sabrina navigate her way through the human world, I think she's starting to shine more.
Yeah,
I think she will. Mm-hmm. I think she will. Prudence is very strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sabrina clearly is a boss ass B word. So it's just interesting that there are still people in the mindset that the women are especially the father of black.
Don't forget our girl Wardwell.
Yeah, Wardwell.
Sure. Principal Wardwell.
Well, and what's interesting too with Father Blackwood is that you have him have these traditional values, but I mean, Satan's right hand man, for lack of a better word, woman, is Miss Wardwell. And it's funny, and they're clearly constantly butting heads. They clearly have very different agendas, and they're constantly fighting, you know, even through the last season. I don't think it's going to change for this one. But it's interesting to see, and I wonder if that's part of it, that he just doesn't – I mean, are the traditional values the same because of the Dark Lord, or is it just because of the way it was written? Same thing sort of with religion. We will never know what Jesus actually said. We're just reading iterations of iterations of iterations that have been passed on, that we don't know what the original text was ever at this point. It's been what's the word I'm looking for? Translated. Yeah, like so many times down. Over. Yeah, exactly.
Like
so many
times telephone.
Over.
Sure, we don't know Muhammad, Moses.
No, we don't know any of that for
Jesus,
real.
Jesus, Zoroaster.
Yeah,
Zarathustra.
Exactly.
We don't know their actual words. We're interpreting interpretations in a lot of aspects. And in this case, however, the Dark Lord shows up frequently.
He
and
does.
Kind of acts on it.
He
and
does.
When it comes to the case of Miss Wardwell, Miss Wardwell represents Lilith, who is the original wife of Adam, born of the same clay, which was the problem. The other problem was she becomes a demon by, in folklore, in Hebrew tradition, by basically bowing to the Dark Lord, bowing to Samael or Satan. So that might set the tone of the tradition of women being subservient to men, because even in the Christian religion, it's a very similar tradition in that manner. And of course, all of us are supposed to be subservient to God.
Right.
That's actually one of the major defining things. And then we see the Dark Lord. We see a parallel in that. Does anyone else get sometimes uncomfortable when they go, "Hail Satan, hail Judas," and you're just sitting there like, "Oh man, is he going to show up?" Because I feel like we all have this like a sense in us that this is somehow like a little bit wrong.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I think it has been something just kind of ingrained, instilled in us that this is wrong to kind of worship Satan. But obviously there are other religions out there that don't see it as a negative thing. It's kind of been reworked to be something different. I am not an expert. I am not speaking on this at all. I just, you know.
People just curse you at home. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay, Mom. It's done. It's done. What's done is done. Is Sister Zelda going to be a Helsing? Is she going to be amazing at the academy and a wonderful faculty?
Well, I think her romantic feelings for Blackwood has kind of come back and bite her somehow.
Oh yeah,
and especially now that she's really, it seems like she's really separated from Hilda because they were very close. I know Zelda killed Hilda last season, but
all
like
the time.
Still,
they
shared a room. Yeah. I remember they're not sharing a room anymore, so they seem very disconnected, and it's going to be a very different dynamic. So I feel like she's going to get in trouble somehow, and I think Hilda's going to have to come in and save her at some point, because messing with Blackwood doesn't seem like good juju to me, personally.
It's actually kind of unfortunate because, you know, Zelda in this episode seems to have a genuine relationship with Blackwood. She takes the initiative to want to know what exactly are they. She wants clarity. And I think it's very unfortunate that, you know, her relationship, again, it's kind of instilled in us that we think, oh, for lack of a, you know, the phrase, sleeping your way to the top. And we see that backlash coming back at her from other teachers at the academy this episode.
Shirley Jackson, Sister Jackson, who comes to play as a faculty and was less than happy. I saw when Father Blackwood, when Aunt Zelda puts Judas, the baby, to sleep with the touch, reflexology, I believe is what she called it, reflexology. Father Blackwood looked like, this could be a possible suitor. This is because, to me, they are in the terms of marriage of what marriage was originally intended to be, which is a contract between two people. She has the qualities of a good mother and wife. She's a good assistant. She would make a great partner, but not equal partner in his mind. And then to her, Father Blackwood represents power, position, merit,
security,
prestige, security.
Sex. Let's be real, sex.
Sure.
Not just a good flogging.
that's the best one. I mean, it's going to be very interesting watching Sister Zelda unfold as a teacher and how not only just the faculty members, because some of them are not happy with her. Obviously, we see Shirley Jackson act in a certain way, but to see how the students react to her as well. Let's get to the Top Boy Challenge. Top Boy.
First off, yeah, Top Boy.
Boy.
And not Top Person.
Well, and just Top Boy and Girl. I don't understand. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, you just have both. Just make two.
Well, it's tradition, right? They have a Top Boy. Now, why that is a specific gender, that's different than saying, oh, well, now we should have two. This is the person who has the most merit. It's a popularity contest. It's prom king. It's school president. It's all rolled up into one.
But we also have a prom king and a prom queen. I'm sorry. I know that I'm from a different time. I just don't understand
it. But we also come from a different perspective, right?
So, absolutely.
And this is the concern. This is my concern when I say there's a lot of times when the Eastern world and the Western world meet and they collide. And when I say Western, I clearly mean like Western as in this liberal mindset that happens to collide and the Eastern world. And it happens even in the United States itself where the worlds collide.
Big time.
And it collides and then everyone's like, well, you're wrong. And people on one side is like, well, you're stupid. Why didn't you think of this? Well, sometimes tradition outplays. This is something that's been done for, at this point, 2019 years.
I would like to believe that too, of just being like, hey, you know, this is the way we've been doing things. But you can still use human sacrifice as an example. Yeah, everyone's doing it. It's like, yeah, it's no big deal. But on some level, everybody knows it's wrong. You can't just go murdering people.
Sure,
yeah.
But I'll give you an example of goat sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be comfortable with a goat being sacrificed?
Not really.
No, but there's a lot of cultures that do that now.
Right, they still do it. Same thing with like chickens and stuff, and that's a weird one.
But it's not wrong. But it's wrong when someone's doing that, but it's not like anyone has anything against eating a chicken sandwich
or eating goat,
because you don't want to see it. You don't want to see it.
Right.
You don't want to see how it's done. And that's a big concern. And that's a concern even when it comes to kosher or halal food, things of that nature, even though that's actually a more humane way of killing the animal.
Right.
It's not like this whole factory. A lot of people don't realize like there needs to be a balance between tradition and progression. There needs to be a balance, but how that balance plays out. And we see that in this Top Boy Challenge. We get three challenges, the quiz portion, the potion portion, and of course, the summoning,
conjuring.
The conjuring.
So, yeah.
And we get into that. So everyone wants Nicholas, who is a hottie, by the way. Sheesh.
Absolutely.
This guy.
Harvey who?
He's actually one of the most boring characters on the show. Ever since I met Nicholas, I was like, yo, kill Harvey. Like, let's kill Harvey.
Just kill him. I love how you're like, Harvey. Don't like, just leave Harvey. Yeah, we're going to kill him.
The most extreme. Like, I used to love Harvey on the 90s show. The 90s show, oh my gosh, look at that teen heartthrob. But on this show, I am Nicholas all the way, man.
it's also just the idea of that he completely understands where Sabrina is coming from in this new world, and he's a very strong support system, especially we're seeing in this episode, how he supports her and, you know, going about trying to kind of get rid of this gender discrimination.
Yeah. I just liked him because he's hot.
Which was the opposite of how Harvey, in the first episode, the very first episode, when she confessed, like, I'm a witch, Harvey was not here for it at all. That's kind of where I lost a little respect for Harvey, and it just didn't. His character didn't really stick with me, and I just think
I just don't like Harvey's face. There's something about his face and
Lynch.
His hair.
Ross Lynch.
That's great. Great. Nicholas all the way. Nicholas Scratch.
He's interesting. He's very. It's like, ooh, I want to know your past.
He's the warlock, and he's sweet. He's to her.
Yeah, I think
he nominates her.
Yeah.
He's the one who's like, I don't mind a little bit of healthy competition. Flirt, flirt, flirt. Sheesh. And he's like tender.
Yeah, he
is. And you don't see that in the orgy scene he had in part one. No, you don't think that of him. But here he becomes very tender when it comes to Sabrina. He doesn't snap. He's the opposite of Father Blackwood. Father Blackwood loves this guy because he embodies the warlock temperament. I know what that's like, is when you see someone that you think, this is the embodiment of everything I think that this should be. It's a look, it's a feel, it's the whole nine. Nicholas has all those things, but he's not Father Blackwood.
Because he's multidimensional. He has so many different sides to him.
He is multidimensional. And we see, okay, so let's talk about the quiz portion. Father Blackwood just loves Nicholas. This is where you have to answer. Sabrina didn't have time to prepare because she gets attacked by the demons. We will talk about that separately. But the Blackwood loves Nicholas a question. What configuration represents Lord Satan's design for his people? I mean,
come on.
Pentagram? I mean, I think almost most people would have known that. And then ask Sabrina the five books of the Lesser Key of Solomon.
I think what stood out more so, sorry, not to jump ahead, but I think what stood out more so in the scene is, again, the amount of support Sabrina had in Nicholas Scratch, you know, helping her out. And then Prudence as well, because she very much is not a fan of her father right now because of how he treats her, how he just kind of brushes her aside and doesn't give her the legacy that is rightfully hers.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. And I feel like a lot of characters, along with the Prudence, the Weird Sisters, and even maybe Nicholas, they might be tired of traditions. And maybe these particular traditions are a little bit...
Are they tired of traditions? Because I remember Prudence being the one who fights for traditions as well. Remember, they were brought up in this...
But they're trying to redefine this tradition in terms of getting the top boy as a female. Like Sabrina, they're really behind her. Or at least they're trying.
But
they're trying something new.
Or is it just throwing a wrench in the plans? Is Prudence actually all for a female top boy? Or is she simply for, I'm going to screw whatever my father's doing. Mm. I'm going to mess up the tradition of my father. The same way that I don't know if Miss Wardwell is totally on board with being a progressive person. She's just fighting for the ideals that she personally believes in.
Oh, I think that for sure.
And it happens to be the concept of feminism, of course. But also, I'm going to screw over whatever I can screw up because that's what I'm here for.
Right. Well, going back to your point about Prudence, I think it is both. I think it's like she gets the, you know, kind of the ha-ha moment of, you know, screwing over her dad. But I also think she gets the moment of, if I help Sabrina do this, then it paves the way for me to be able to ascend in a sense.
Exactly.
I think she can see it from both perspectives.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And let's throw this out there. When Sabrina's just, like, killing the answers, that was so great. Like, I don't care that she was cheating. It was amazing.
It was just, like, in your face. And it was awesome.
Exactly. It was.
I love the swagger she has, though, knowing that she's cheating. She's just like, I don't care. Ask me another question.
She did. She went through
the whole time.
She's a problem solver.
The Ars Gosha, the Ars Thurgosha, the Ars Polina, the Ars Almadel, and the Ars Notoria. Even Zelda was like, I wouldn't know those. And Zelda's, like, a very acclaimed witch. So it was just it was very cool. And then we see the second one, potion portion, where she gets lessons from her aunt Hilda, who's a master potion maker. She's obviously got this baking, cooking thing down. And first thing out, she messes up. She messes up. And blind white
but she
eye
took it like a champ.
Of cave-born shark brought untimely from the dark. Petrified. Putrefied.
Love that people liked more that she messed up and drank it, though.
And cheers. Like, she didn't hesitate.
She just went for it, and I think they respected her more for that. I think that she's going to get a lot more support than Father Blackwood is going to like.
Yeah, she's definitely getting a lot of support.
I mean, that's what we do at parties. Chug, chug, chug. So that's what it reminded me of. Like,
wait for someone to throw up.
This is still a school,
This is the witch version of that, y'all. Just...
It is. It is. And then, of course, the third challenge where Nicholas, after being accused of being the one to conjure up the demons, because he's a master conjurer, the best conjurer.
I was really hoping that wasn't the case because Wardwell emerged as such a... Yeah.
Right, and Wardwell planted that seed in Sabrina. That idea that he was behind it.
Because that's what Wardwell does. It makes me think that Wardwell was the one who actually conjured the demons. But the concept is they work together, and Nicholas comes through for Sabrina. And it shows even more how much they like each other. I wonder if everyone at home is shipping. Look, I'm going with Sabrinic.
I like it. Sabrinic.
Sabrinic?
Because what else would it be?
Nixab?
Sabrinolus.
Horrible.
Nicolina?
Sick.
Nicolina? Nicolina? Okay. That actually works.
I just didn't want to put his name first.
Fair. Sabrinic.
Sabrinic.
I like
I
it
like
for
Nicolina,
it.
Sabrinic it is. But I didn't want to put his name first. I just, I'm okay a Sabrina. With that. So let's tell me if you're shipping Sabrina and Nicholas or Sabrina and Harvey. We're going to call that Sarvey. Sarvey. So Sarvey, Harvey. Sarvey or Sabrinic. Let us know in the comments below. We want to know which one you're shipping. And let's talk about Lucas and Ambrose. Are you shipping them?
No.
No.
I don't trust Lucas.
I don't trust Lucas at all.
He's sketchy.
We still don't know that story about last season when the boy died, the warlock died. I don't, we have no answers for that. And I think
Lucas.
Exactly.
Lucas, even in this episode, Ambrose is like, oh, what did Father Blackwood ask you? He's like, it was private. It's a private matter.
And I don't like what Luke's doing to Ambrose either.
Yeah.
I don't like what's happening
there. He didn't support Sabrina.
I know.
And then Ambrose kind of played along with that. And then later you could see Ambrose rooting for her cousin, but not wanting to show Lucas.
Yeah, because he's, again, I think Luke is maybe more traditional, which, I mean, maybe homosexuality within those circles is not frowned upon.
Well,
it's hard to tell. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Or bisexuality.
Or bisexuality, sure. Whatever it is. Whatever their relationship is, which we actually don't know at this point. Is maybe not something that's frowned upon, because if it was, I feel like he would understand more. But he still seems to have those very traditional values. He said it's called, the head boy after all. So that's interesting. That's
top
an interesting
boy
dynamic.
After all. Like,
yeah,
I saw those warlocks making out at that bar.
At the bar. This is one of my favorite little things that Sabrina does, is that bar is Dorian Gray's bar from Oscar Wilde's. And just the fact that Dorian Gray is in this, and Dorian Gray is like such an amazing literary character whose painting represents his soul, and it's like he stays young and beautiful forever.
His painting ages.
And his painting ages and gets all anything he does that's horrible, it happens to his painting. So I can't wait to see more from that character. That was like one of my favorite things that that started off this season.
Did you like the movie, the Dorian Gray movie with that one actor, Stuart Townsend?
I did actually.
I did too. Oh my god, that makes me really happy.
I actually liked Stuart Townsend. I even liked him in the
Queen of the Damned.
The Queen of the Damned.
Thank you.
I
I thought that movie was good, and I read the book, so I don't care what anyone
books
says.
As well.
Yeah,
and Dorian Gray is one of my favorite books, so it was just so nice saying that. Yeah. Let's talk about the Three Plague Kings real quick, as we geeked out. The Three Plague Kings come to play. Those are the demons that we see attacking Sabrina. The first one, of course, being Asmodeus, Lord of the Vermin. Then we see Person, Lord of the Shadow. And then we round it off with Beelzebub, who I don't even know if I'm allowed to say those names.
I know,
Lord of the Fly. Eyes, right? Just saying the names can conjure them all. We see these three plague kings, and I mean, they are three of the seven princes of hell, who we see in the first dream sequence. Now they're actually attacking her. The first, Asmodeus does it with rats. Person does it with cowing birds. And then Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. These are the plagues. Wow.
They were definitely claimed that they weren't conjured, but they were definitely conjured. We just don't know by who, and they could obviously be just, because they're kings, and they obviously don't want to think that anyone has hold over them. Well, but I think they could still very well have been conjured.
It's also interesting, I think that they're acting independently from the Dark Lord, because the Dark Lord has some plans for Sabrina that don't require her being killed, that require her by his side. Maybe sort of a queen type thing. I think we talked about that last season. So it's interesting. They're either acting for someone else or they're acting on their own. But I think you're right. I think it's more likely they're acting for someone else.
Yeah,
and someone
like
else got
there's like this third party. Because I would say Wardwell, but it didn't seem like when Wardwell encountered, I forget which one it was.
Beelzebub.
It didn't seem like.
I said it.
It didn't Radical seem no. like.
Well, especially the way Blackwood vanquished them before they could speak up about the ascending thing. So my thing is, if someone conjured them, who? But at the same time, I know they're demons, but I believe them. Maybe they're against Sabrina ascending to being the herald of the Dark Lord.
Being a half-witch, maybe they just aren't.
They're against it too. Yeah. I mean, a little more misogyny from these guys, except in a form of bigotry. I don't know. We're left with that. We're left with knowing what the Dark Lord's promises, what he's going to ask Sabrina to do. Mm-hmm. These are things that come up for that. I mean, the whole plot at the Academy was brilliantly done. Brilliantly done. But then we also get this B plot back at Baxter High, where Susie tries out for the basketball team, changes her name to his name to Theo, and then Roz's vision of kissing Harvey. Yeah. Let's quickly touch on those things, because that B plot was also, it was layered in so that we didn't forget those characters, but we kind of forgot those characters.
It's developing, and I'm liking seeing them grow without Sabrina. I don't think they need Sabrina to protect them anymore, and I think that I'm thinking that Roz's visions always come true, so I'm wondering how Sabrina's going to take that new relationship, and I'm really interested in learning about Theo and his coming into his identity.
I did have one initial worry in this plot line, was that when, again, Sabrina has a good heart and she's coming from a good place when she was helping Theo with basketball. Right. But then my worry was, if it turns out that, you know, she had that moment of like showing them up, but then say, for example, she has a game and she doesn't do as well because Sabrina's not there, I don't want that to come up. Backlash at her, you know?
Right. You at him. Literally had the exact same thought as me. I thought that was a terrible idea on Sabrina's part. And it's a weird, honestly, this is a really weird conversation, but it's a conversation that I feel like needs to be had just in the wider world of, and I think the most recent thing, or one of the most recent things that I can remember, was there was a transgender male to female MMA fighter who was going into the ring and just destroying these women. That's a conversation you have to have. Like, you can't just be like, well, guys can play with girls and girls can play with guys. Not necessarily all the time. And I think that that's a weird... And it's the same thing with the coach being
but
like...
But they don't have a girls basketball team.
I know, I get that. And they don't. But at the same time, Theo is not a skilled basketball player. She wouldn't have made the team. It sucks to say, but it's like, sorry. It should be on your merits.
It's interesting you guys all have that perspective. I was like wondering, with Sabrina using her magic without their consent, had she not learned from last part?
That too.
With Harvey. Part one.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't want it done. Mm-hmm. You got to let it happen. What do you guys think about Roz and Harvey?
I feel like I want to ship it because I also want to ship Sabrina and Nick, and I want both parties to be happy. But I feel like even on both, I feel like there's obviously some still lingering feelings between Sabrina and Harvey. And Harvey even admits this episode that he misses her. So I guess we just have to kind of see how it plays out and how they naturally possibly grow into these other relationships that seem to be alluding to one another.
I don't know. That's a messed up thing to do to your best friend.
It's weird.
It's
weird. Let's see what people think below.
But also, Sabrina doesn't want any contact with them anymore because she doesn't want the Dark Lord coming after them.
True. Yeah.
So we have to keep that in mind. She wants to protect them and she cares for them still.
We just got a tidbit of it, so we don't know what's going to happen. Let's talk about it in predictions. Before we go to predictions, let's play our quick game. One sentence of a scene that relates to you. Let's start with Oliver. Who you?
When Theo was told that they couldn't, you know, participate, I can relate to that because of the way you look or just the way you're perceived. I can totally relate to that.
To be fair, I wouldn't put you on my basketball team either, and it's nothing to do with the way you look.
But I'm not talking about sports.
I just don't think you'd be good.
Sports? Yeah. Thanks, Tara.
No offense.
Probably when Sabrina stood up and was like, wait, why can't I be head boy? I don't know. I've always been and I understand having more conservative values or whatever, but I don't think this is that. That's just a weird, it's the same sort of thing if like girls sleep around, they're a slut, but if guys sleep around, it's okay. That's always been a weird thing for me. I'm like, excuse me? So that would be for me. Yeah.
Kind of going a piggyback on that when Zelda kind of puts the other teacher in her place and being like, you want to know what? You can't disrespect me like this because of who I chose to associate myself with.
Well, mine's going to have to be when Sabrina just answered every single question correctly. I just love that. That's something I would do. It's something I'm about. I wouldn't even need to cheat, but I live that life, so I love it. I love that. That underestimate me, and I'll show you up. Let's get into predictions. Predictions.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Veronica, what are your predictions?
I predict that Sabrina's going to keep kicking some butt. And I predict that, you know, she has this fear that the Dark Lord is going to make her, you know, do his bidding. And I think it's going to come relatively soon since we only have 9 episodes of this season.
This is a fairly obvious, I feel like, but I could still be wrong. I see Sabrina and Nick getting together very, very soon.
I hope so. Love them.
Real quick, I think that there's something about humans being a half-witch. There's something that the Dark Lord fears. There's a power that humans have, I think. That's why they're afraid of a half witch.
That's That's great. Okay. I am going to go with... We didn't have a lot to discuss about Ambrose. I feel like Ambrose is... He's moving in the direction of that society, and that's going to play a huge part later on where Lucas gets him in trouble by taking... Like, separates him from his family. Because he's going to have to choose between the Spellmans and the Academy or Blackwood's traditional thought. That's where I'm at with it. But we'll find out more as we talk about more Sabrina stuff next time, because this is all I've been thinking about all week long. You have no idea how long I've been waiting for this to happen. Where can people find you if you want to be found, Oliver?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at OllieDreamer.
Zia.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zia_Land. That's XIA_Land.
And of course, the one and only Veronica.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsmeveronica_V.
And of course, I am Teron, literally all across the board. I am Teron. Please find me, tell your friends, and find us on all the various after shows, after panels that we're on. We cross connect here. We're polyamorous, pansexual when it comes to different panels. So make sure to find us. And until next chilling adventure of Sabrina, we'll be right here waiting for you. Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.